This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. During the month of September, we are celebrating 70 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Is a relationship with God confining or liberating? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that you will give us a true understanding and meaning of what it is to be free. Help us to understand that we can enjoy all the freedom of an American, have some of the freedoms that wealth might bring to us, and yet be so deeply in bondage. Grant, O God, that we may see that it is only when the soul is set free that truly we are free indeed. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your Father. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Blessed be the name.
Friends in Christ, in the very first chapter of the Bible, verse 26, we have this great passage of Scripture. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground. Again, listen, then God said, Let us make man in our image. Now, what does that really mean, to be created in the image of God? I imagine the first thing we would say, well, it must have something to do with the physical aspect. We say that a child is a spitting image of the father or mother. And there we're dealing primarily with the physical, the features in the face, etc. But this is not what it means. For the Bible makes it very clear, and Jesus has said himself, that God is a spirit, and his worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. God does not have a body. I recall a Sunday school lesson when I was a kid. It had a picture of God. And God was depicted as an elderly man with a white beard, sitting with a big book and a pen. And supposedly he was saying, every time you sin, I mark it down. And one day you will have to give an account. Now, I didn't appreciate the lesson a great deal, at least in retrospect. And the poor man or woman who wrote or drew that picture probably had very good intentions. But it was a terrible presentation of God. It's over against God, who is a spirit, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a bad impression it gave me as a child regarding God. And yet, even to this day, I sometimes am haunted with that picture. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? There is one clause in this scripture that I think gives us a great deal of light. After he has said, let us make man in our image, he comes back and says, in our likeness. Now, what does that say to you? Does it not say that we have similarities with God? There are things in us that are also found in God. For example, and I have used this quite often, so it will be somewhat repetitious to those of you who listen regularly, God has a mind. He is a mind of all things. Our minds, and we have them, they have been given to us, are very, very small. We don't know very much, though from our human point of view, we have acquired a great deal of knowledge and have accomplished a great deal. The mystery of the computer and all of the rest shows how far humankind have come. And yet when we look at all of the mysteries that surround us, we realize that our minds are pretty small. God has a will, and so do we. When he created us, he did not create us as puppets, but he created us with a will, which means that we have the mental power to consider and choose. And we can say yes or no. And we can say no to God. That often baffles me. Why did God ever create me in such a way that I could ever say no to him who is my heavenly Father and the eternal God? Well, he wanted us to be created in his image. And he had a will, he wanted us to have a will. Very, very small in comparison to his, but it is a will. A God is eternal, and he has so created us that we are eternal too. It is true that we will die, but then we will live, either in heaven or in hell, but we will live. It does not stop when we breathe our last. That is very important for us to realize. It is the only part of God's creation that is created that way. So here you have man created in the image of God, and let this suffice. We have a mind with which we can think, and we are responsible people. We have a will that has the mental power to consider and choose and to say no. We have a soul that is eternal. Now, all was well until you get to the third chapter of Genesis. And here you have that Adam and Eve story that we have gone over many, many a time, and we learned from childhood. It is the story of God putting the man and the woman in the garden and saying, you can eat of all of these trees that are here in this beautiful place, except in the center of the garden there is a tree of knowledge, and you cannot eat of that. And the day that you do eat of that, you will die. Now, after hearing that admonition and God then giving man the right to exercise his will, I will or I will not obey God, here comes a tempter. And he says, may you eat of any of these trees in the garden? And Eve answers back, we can eat of all of them with the exception of one, the tree of knowledge in the center of the garden. And then the tempter says, that's not true. You may eat of that too if you want to. God just doesn't want you to be as wise as he is, so he'd rather have you refrain from it. But it was so lovely, so appealing to the emotion. And finally, the woman said, why not? Isn't that kind of tempting? The emotion, temptation, so often presents itself in such a grand and glorious way. But the day that Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, humankind became spiritually enslaved. And that's how we live today. We live in spiritual enslavement, people. Many do not even begin to understand that. But St. Paul has said it so well when we turn to the fifth chapter of his letter to the Romans, where in verse 12 and then later in 19, he says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. And then over in verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, that is Adam, the many were made sinners, all of us were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Christ Jesus, the many will be made righteous. And in him we can be made righteous. Man tries hard to escape his slavery. If we take a look at our text that I read for you today, when Jesus begins to talk to them about freedom, they don't know how to respond. They say, well, we are the children of Abraham, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say if you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free? In other words, politically, they were free, they thought. And as a result of that, they didn't know what this freedom was all about. Freedom is far more than political freedom. Now, let's make it very clear that we have much to thank God for when we are politically free living here in the United States of America. But there are millions and millions and millions of Americans who enjoy the freedom of our land and yet are in spiritual slavery. We try in other ways to get our freedom back. We acquire some wealth, and with that wealth, we purchase things that make life more secure. For example, we purchase good insurance policies. I remember when our children were little and I bought some term insurance, bought a lot of it. And I recall one night after getting a policy that I tucked one of the little children to bed and I thought to myself, oh, I thank you, God, that I was able to make that purchase, for if I were taken now, they at least would have sufficient money that they could be raised halfway as they should be. Purchased it. We're getting some freedom. Freedom from that fear of what would they do for a loaf of bread if we didn't have the money. Purchased medical care. Yesterday, in driving to my home from Minneapolis, I passed the great Mayo Clinic, one of the greatest institutions in the world. People come from all around just to get the very best medical care that they can. Their jets fly in and out of Rochester or Minneapolis or wherever it may be, carrying them from some of the most naive countries, but they have some people who have acquired a lot of wealth, and so they can go there to get the advice and the care from some of these great, great people of medicine. We have enough money, and we can purchase the real estate that is convenient for us and gives us a comfortable place in which to live. money will give us the social and the recreational and the all other kind of amenities that really make life supposedly free. And yet when we get all of these things, we still realize that underneath it all, we are enslaved. There is something inside of us that money will not buy. There is something that prestige of coming from a background or whatever else it may be, a profession, cannot give to us. Paul says it this way, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, that's what I end up doing. What a wretched man that I really am. Here you see a person who is in slavery. Now the question is there any way that we can get out of this slavery that we're in? And that's where our text speaks so clearly today when Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, what does that mean? It means first that we have to be brought back into relationship with our God who created us, that we can have that same relationship as once humankind had. That means that you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we realize that on the cross of Calvary, he suffered and died and paid the price for our sins. And through that empty tomb, he has won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. Where sin entered into humankind in a beautiful garden, it was on a blood-stained cross and an open tomb that we got our freedom back. That freedom is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In no other way, friend. You can't win it. You can't buy it. You can't acquire it in any other way. Only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus adds a little bit to it. Now, after you enter into a living relationship with me, then you live in my word. And if you live in that word, then much will be revealed to you. And so many things that could otherwise put you into captivity will set you free. For example, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, here's the picture. You've entered into a personal relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now you're living with him. But then every day I want to hear from him. So I live with him in that word. That is, if you will abide in that word. The other day I was in our coffee nook at the retirement center where my wife and I live, and there were two ladies who sat there, and I began to visit with them. I knew them somewhat. And during the course of our visit together, I asked them how they were getting along. Both of them had lost their husband and relatively not long ago. One of them was recovering from serious heart surgery. And I said, do you have a lot of fears? Do you wonder what the future brings forth? And the one who was recovering from the surgery says, not at all. You know, I am a Christian. And if I die, I know that I'm going to go to be with the Lord. And I live every day with my Bible. I read it. I immerse myself in its truths. And I know that everything is in his hands. What a free person she really was. What fun it was to talk with her. We love freedom. Ask a prisoner who has just been released what he thinks. He loves freedom. And so we want the freedom that really sets us free. And that is given to us today and should be put into our spiritual computer. If you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth. And that truth is going to set you free. Amen.
God's Son has made me free.
Father in heaven, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word around the world today. Grant that as that gospel is announced in all parts of this universe, that we may rejoice to know that some who have heard the word by the power of the Holy Spirit have responded, and they are a part of your eternal kingdom, living even now, free. Free to be yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.